Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
Well, if you're about my age or a little bit older, you remember Schoolhouse Rock on Saturday mornings, and you remember the song, I'm Just a Bill, I'm Only a Bill, and I'm sitting up on Capitol Hill. But how does a bill become a law? According to one report that I have seen here in the Pennsylvania State Legislature, only about 19% of all of the bills ever introduced ever get signed into law. Our guest this morning, in his first term, had two bills get signed into law by Governor Shapiro. How exactly did he do that? And also, what did he learn as he was going around the district campaigning in the most recent election? State Representative Matt Gurgley is our guest this morning. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Jason. Thanks for having me, obviously.
Well, thank you for taking some time to talk with us. First things first, we just made it through an election, which means the equal time provisions. I'm allowed to have you back on the radio to talk. As you were going around, I know you were campaigning with some of the other candidates. I saw pictures of you doing a lot of door knocking there in the 35th district. What were people's concerns? What kinds of things were you hearing from the public?
Number one, I'd say right now is but obviously the economy, that's what's on people's minds. Economic growth is what we need in industry. So here in the 35th district, I want to see industry and growth and our economy to come back to a level that supports families and provides.
Let me tee up a question, though, that I think it puzzles some people, and that is if you look at the numbers, if you look at the statistics, unemployment in Pittsburgh is very low. It's some of the lowest unemployment we've ever had since the Second World War. Inflation, which was very high a couple of years ago, is now supposedly running less than 3% or less than 4%. It would seem, if you just looked at the numbers, that everybody who wants a job can get a job and that prices are stabilizing. So why do you think it is that people are saying, I don't care what the numbers say? That's not what I'm experiencing.
I hate to get into politics, but I think a lot of this has to do with what people see here on TV and radio and mailings and whatnot for either side of, the two different parties present different factors when they run. And I think that gets ingrained in people's head to go one way or another. And sometimes it's not always factual, which is unfortunate. I think where you are doing well as far as an economy, I just want to make sure and see that those jobs aren't just jobs where people are working. You have to work for them to make things work at home.
And it may not just because if your neighborhood is not doing well or your community is not doing well, it may not matter that the overall economy is doing well, I guess.
Yeah, exactly what I was trying to allude to earlier. With the spectrum of things, it's, what you see around you as well, and which could create, your own thoughts on the matter.
Tell us about the 35th district that you represent. What are the communities in the 35th?
It pretty much runs from the city of Clareton on the one to and the Sandcastle there, Clareton, Duquesne, McKeesport, White Oak, Duquesne, Munn Hall, West Homestead, Homestead. Over on the other side here with McKeesport is White Oak, South Versailles. I think there's 14 total. There's all similar way, but they're all very, very different in a way too.
Yeah, and all of them, to some extent or another, are still struggling from the loss of jobs in the 1980s and the 1990s with the closure of the steel mills. Correct.
Well, absolutely. I mean, they're struggling as well, not just because of loss of jobs, but because people walked away from their homes, dilapidated buildings and homes, which the municipality gets kind of stuck with, even though they don't own them. They get condemned. You have to be safe and make sure people don't get hurt. And it's just a cyclical war. This never seems to end. And you just continue to try to play catch up with making things safe, with a budget that's, you know, usually in a deficit. It's very difficult. When you don't have the taxpayer base to support it, it's almost impossible.
We're talking with State Representative Matt Gergely. You can find him online on Facebook, Matthew R. Gergely. You can also check out his website, pahouse.com/mgergely. And he's got an office in, is your only office in the district is in downtown McKeesport now, or do you have
satellite
offices?
No. We have three.
Three offices?
Yeah, we have three. Yes. McKeesport's the district office, the main. And then the Munn Hall office, and that's on Main Street in Munn Hall.
Okay.
And there's also one in Clarendon in the City Hall building.
We'll give some phone numbers, and we'll give those web addresses out in a little while again. So your first 2 years in office, I introduced you by saying, you know, we're all familiar with how a bill becomes a law, but most bills don't become laws. 81% of them, according to the one story that I read, never make it out of committee. They never get voted on. You had two pieces of legislation that were signed into law by the governor. Tell us about those.
Well, first, the Schoolhouse Rock. I actually talked about that yesterday.
Oh, did you?
It's something to, yes, okay. It's very funny you mentioned that. What a coincidence. But yeah, I still watch that every day because I'm still trying to figure it all out. I think it's something you never honestly figure out because like I said, with this job, I don't think you ever stop learning. I'm very extremely proud though to have these two bills passed. I can't tell you. And the reason I say that is because they're very impactful on our area and in the Commonwealth. And you really have to put in a lot of work and things have to fall into place. And you have to have people willing to work with you in a bipartisan fashion. And even the bills that you would think, oh man, that should be passed, no problem. You know, obviously amendments get tacked on and people will, you know, sort of kill the bill when it just sits there and doesn't move for one reason or another. There's a lot of negotiating and going back and forth, just trying to find a happy medium to get this done. But there's no real reasonable, easy answer to that question. I have to be honest.
Let's start with the one about the liquor licenses, because this is one of those things that it seems like maybe a no-brainer, or it seems like to the outside world, you would say, that makes sense. But you actually had to pass a law to get some flexibility for people, for businesses that have liquor licenses. Tell us about that.
Well, this became its own universe, actually. It started with, we were looking into things about the availability of workers. And there were some old, very old laws that said, you know, you worked in one place that sold liquor, you basically couldn't work in another.
Yeah.
Which was... people weren't hearing to, and then a lot of people didn't know about it. It was just so ridiculous.
I would have never known about that. So if you're a waitress at a bar or a waiter at a bar, and you
work at Giant Eagle,
or a bartender, or you work at Giant Eagle part time, and a lot of people in the service industry work maybe multiple jobs.
I did that, and that was against the law. Right. I mean, I did that growing up. I was a bartender, waiter. I did all that, washing dishes, even in a restaurant with a sold alcohol. So.
But you could be cited for that. You could be
yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So that's how this started. But then it started to take on its own, like I said, life, and several amendments were brought upon. But as that started to transpire, all the things that we discussed were reasonable, and both the Republicans and Democrats, we were in agreement, which obviously made me very happy to have that, because it did so much more. The most frustrating thing that came out of this was the media ran and called it the happy hour, Gergely's happy hour bill, which was nothing. There was no intention of having it be a happy hour bill where let's just drink all day and happy hour. It was more or less, I guess that drew headlines, but it was more or less the fact that there were so many government regulations that were uncalled for to allow businesses to succeed, because we know how hard they were hit with COVID.
Oh, COVID. I mean, you know, we've saw very many long established restaurants in the Pittsburgh area close their doors. They just, you know, they couldn't compete. So there was a happy hour component to it, though. They were allowed to, but that was not the primary reason, motivation for the bill.
No. But there were several other things. I think there's 14 amendments on here. And also, you know, the law for the outdoor dining and drinking was about to expire.
And that has been a major business driver. And I think it's am I editorializing here, but I think it's brought some vitality back to some business districts that they can have outdoor seating at their bar or restaurant. But that was about that provision of the law was going to expire.
And not to just harp on that, but one of the coolest moments was I was with my family in downtown Pittsburgh, and we were walking, and it was getting dark, and then there was, this was end of summer. And we, as we walked down through downtown, there were several establishments that have outdoor dining and things set up, which could be now more permanent. And I looked around and I thought to myself, you know, this is really cool because now I'm actually a part of a law changing it to allow this to continue to happen. You know, and it was just the impactfulness of that made me feel very proud and understand the job and the responsibilities of it.
So Act 57 of 2024, you would prefer it to be called Act 57 and not Gurgley's Happy Hour Law.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I came a lot of way when you first see that, you're like, oh, what's this guy just want
to... Let's pause there. You have another bill that has to do with healthcare, and when we come back, I want to ask you about that. And also ask you, now that you've completed your first full term, what some of the lessons that you have learned that maybe you'd like to pass on to other people who are thinking of running for office, okay?
Absolutely.
State Representative Matt Gurgley is our guest. He represents the 35th District, which includes Clairton, Duquesne, McKeesport, and some of the surrounding areas. From the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the city of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
We talked about the liquor license amendments that you were able to get passed, Act 57 of 2024, which, again, closes a strange loophole where someone who worked for one bar or restaurant was not supposed to be working for another bar or restaurant. Let's talk now about, you had a bill that is a little bit, maybe is an obscure thing, but it's about blood plasma. Tell us about the blood plasma law that the governor signed.
This one, I may have not gotten the attention that the so-called happy hour bill got.
Yeah.
But it was extremely impactful, especially for our community. And we noticed, as I was serving on the health committee, that plasma has become a commodity. I mean, it is, mm-hmm. It's saving lives. They're finding hundreds of different uses for it, so to speak. And it's just going to continue, quite obviously, in that manner. And you know, the countries are seeking our plasma.
Mm-hmm.
And what was happening was the regulations in the state of Pennsylvania were almost absurd to the fact where certain centers couldn't open because they couldn't function. They couldn't find it, the required amount of doctors. They couldn't afford the amount of doctors that we were requiring. So what I noticed first was that the state of Pennsylvania required these centers to have 5 doctors, as federal regulations required 2 doctors.
Okay.
So I said, well, if they're allowing that, it's reasonable, and this can be done safely, and 2 doctors are appropriate, why are we doing this and making these centers struggle so much that in certain cases they couldn't even open because they couldn't provide this level of staffing with doctors? So that's how this bill started. And it changed that to mimic federal regulations. And in this area, the plasma is good as well because, you know, a lot of residents use it for supplemental income.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, what it's being used for is phenomenal. It's saving lives. So it's benefiting.
It's used in all sorts of pharmaceuticals. It's used in surgeries, all sorts of medical life-saving treatments that require blood plasma to move forward. And you had help on this from another state representative, Tim Briggs, from the eastern part of the state.
Tim Briggs was just amazing in this whole thing. And it was without him, I would have never gotten this done, I got to be honest. So I owe that to him and his help. And, you know, you appreciate things like that. That's what I've learned, and I'm still learning. You really have to be willing to work with everybody. You know, you can't just – you're not going to go out there alone and just do the things you want to do. You could speak all day on them and how great they are, but if no one's listening or no one's willing to talk to you or you're not willing to talk to them, it's not going to get done.
Now we're talking with State Representative Matt Gurgley from the 35th District, which includes a lot of the Mon Valley, Clairton, Duquesne, McKeesport, down to West Homestead. You can find him online, repgurgley.com or pahouse.com/mgurgley. Now, we've all eaten probably in a restaurant or we've all gone to a bar, right? So one can understand why that would be something that maybe legislation would come to your attention. But how did the plasma thing, how did you learn that this issue with blood plasma was a problem? Who brought that to your attention?
I was speaking with, I believe, the executive director, Erica, one day, and she had mentioned that someone had brought that up, and they, I think the way it transpired was, I think the 35th district has as many as three plasma centers, mm-hmm. which is just maybe as more than any other district or the same.
So you were talking,
that's
you,
a lot for district.
So you were talking with an executive director of one of the blood the donation places.
Yes. Yeah. I know that actually the health committee in Harrisburg.
Okay. Okay.
And it was brought up as someone mentioned that. And I said, well, we have a department of research that'll look into things like that for us. And that's how it begins. And, you know, so you want to find out if there's anything else out there like that already sitting somewhere. Had anyone ever looked into this? And usually you find, well, there's 10 bills been in the past and they all died because they sat somewhere. Mm-hmm. This didn't seem to have that stigma to it. So I thought, you know, I can't imagine who would be against this. Again, though, I've said earlier, that doesn't matter. Sometimes common sense doesn't apply in politics. So you really have to make sure you get all your ducks in a row and have a good game plan on how to get things done, I guess. And I'm not saying I know that. I'm saying I'm learning it, and this is something I'll continue to learn. I got a great piece of advice when I started, and it especially applied to my first year. The person said to me, hey, listen, you got there first year, you know, keep your mouth shut. Just keep your ears and eyes open. Learn, listen, understand. You know, just even then, I still think that should apply because it's very helpful.
And both these bills had, and both the bills that you got passed here, this liquor license amendment and this the public health bill on the blood plasma, which amends a law that dates back to 1951, and things have changed a lot since 1951, hopefully for the better. These both had bipartisan support. I mean, people got excited.
Yes,
people were happy about these to work on these.
And what? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk. I was just going to go down that road with you. The reason I thought these could work is because it's very helpful. But it also, as far as a Republican view, I guess, to sort of speak, and I'm not playing politics here. Mm-hmm. It really takes some government and regulation where there shouldn't be, which made sense. No, it does. There's no. It's all done in a responsible fashion, obviously safe. And with that being said, it made it again. More easily for me to operate with these two bills to get them passed.
Now, before you were elected the first time, you were mostly behind the scenes. You were business manager, a fiscal manager for the city of McKeesport and for the school district. And you decided to run for office. What surprised you about the first time you ran for office? What did you not expect?
Well, number one, I didn't think I'd ever do. I always liked being behind the scenes. I always liked being number two. I always thought, you know, there's a lot of power in that position as well, sometimes more. But you learn a lot there. But when I decided to run, I was a little hesitant at first. And then I thought, man, I enjoyed my job at the city of McKeesport School District so much because, you know, you really do want to help. And you know, there's so many people around this community that want to help. And I thought, you know what? These communities are very similar, like I mentioned before. And there are a lot of people who want to help. And this gives me an opportunity on a much bigger stage to do that. And I know that just sounds like your typical maybe politician thing to say, but I can truly back it up and mean it because, you know, I'm only here because of my father and my uncle and they built this name. And I've always told people there's no day I won't work hard or ever let them down because I wouldn't do that to my family because this means so much to me. And I know what they put into the communities.
We have another break coming up. Before we get there, we've had your colleague, Representative Salisbury, on the show. We had Sharday Jones, who was the former mayor of Braddock, on the show. And something I've asked all these people is, what's your advice to young people who might be interested in running for local office, either on their township or borough level or on the state or county level? Where should they start if they're like, hey, I have some ideas. I'd like to help here.
I love this question because I say it all the time, preach to everybody, get involved anywhere. It doesn't matter on any level. Get involved. Get involved in events, volunteer, go work for campaigns, volunteer for campaigns. You know, I found one of my staffers that I rely on heavily every day because he volunteers for to work on my campaign. I didn't know him previous to that. I know I was always involved as a kid just because that was my family. And even in college, I went out and volunteered for campaigns that I didn't know the candidate necessarily. I mean, I got to know them and helped with their campaign, but there was no pay behind it or anything. It was just volunteering and learning. Just you can't, because it's not going to come. You got to go out there and find it, and you got to get involved and learn.
Let's pause right there, and let's pick it back up. When we come back, let's continue with the, along this theme of what advice you can offer to people who are interested in the process. But more importantly, after the break, I want to ask you what advice we can offer to people who are discouraged by the process, because I know a lot of people get turned off. They see the negative advertising. They see the vitriol that's on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever, and they get turned off by the process. I want to ask you about that as well, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
State Representative Matt Gergely is our guest this morning. He is the representative for the 35th District, just completing his first full term. You can reach him through his website, repgergely.com, or at pahouse.com/mgergely. From the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, and we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striffler's has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striffler's offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striffler's also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at strifflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
So when we took the break, we were talking about what you learned in running for office. A lot of people, especially younger people that I talk to, are turned off by the process, by politics in general. They see the negative advertising, they see the fighting that goes online, and they just say, you know what, I'm going to disconnect. Doesn't make a difference to me anyways. I'm just going to disconnect from it. What's your advice to, especially to younger people who don't want to get involved with the process because they don't think it relates to them?
Well, I could see the frustration with the way we're spending money now for campaigns is, in my opinion, absolutely insane. But I guess, you know, it's always kind of been that way. It's ramping up though. And things seem to be coming more negative. But it's always going to be a part of that game. And I say that knowing full well that I might be involved in the campaign where I have to spend that kind of money. And not that I will be negative. Mm-hmm. I get turned off greatly by that as well. Everything I do, I try to make it always be positive. If I do anything online, it's just I post what you're doing in the district, what things are going on, and then that's it. I can see just how it turns people off and how the storm of media that we were blitzed with this last election, just don't let it discourage you. It's just, I guess, I hate to say the part of the game, but all in all, when you're talking about youth being involved, they're going to be affected. I mean, right now, especially, I mean, if you want to look towards the future, even though they're the youth, they're the ones going to be living in this environment, this world. So whether or not they believe it affects them, it certainly does. Obviously, what positions you're talking about on different levels, but at some point they could all have an effect.
Well, there's an old joke that goes, you may not be interested in politics, but politics is interested in you. Your decisions that are being made on the school board level or county council or state legislature are going to have an impact. You have just pointed to two of them as we've been talking, one of them being this bill that affects all these bar and restaurant owners in our area.
Sure. Again, that was just part of that bill because it just helps them succeed.
Yeah.
In different manners. And again, that can affect them because the youth especially could be working there, yeah. Working at these establishments.
All politics is local, I think, is what they're
yeah,
saying.
Right. Or, yeah. I guess, yeah. Yeah. Right. So certainly yeah. It's going to affect you like it or not. Even if you're 100% thinking, well, it doesn't affect me, it certainly does and will. And you probably recognize that at some point. But I could see why the frustration lies, and you would think that way.
We are running out of time. I do want to throw one question at you that I hopefully is not too stepping on too many toes. But we've seen in Washington, D.C., of course, just this extreme polarization where Democrats only vote for Democratic legislation, Republicans only vote for Republican legislation. We have a Supreme Court that the Republican justices vote one way and the Democratic justices vote another way. There doesn't seem to be any attempt to bridge that. Now, your two bills, one of them, or I think maybe both of them, maybe passed unanimously.
Unanimously.
The one passed unanimously. Is the polarization as bad in Harrisburg as it is in Washington? Right
absolutely.
Now?
Yes, it? Absolutely. Okay. And I followed this only because I've had history with knowing a little bit about the state government as well. But it's even to the point almost where there's four factions, where you have your more extreme left, your more extreme right, and then just Republican and Democrat. So there's even conflicting things going on inside parties, which makes it even more convoluted. And then to have the mindset that you can't do this or that with the other side is that's a failure on all our parts at this point, because you have to do that to get things done. Like, so common sense doesn't always play a part. And I hate to say it, but it's just the way it is. To an extent, it was that way, but it is certainly increased the polarization, as you said, and it's very, very frustrating to think that you can't have an open dialogue. I don't know how anybody would expect anything to get done.
What is
in a true democracy fashion?
What's causing this? I mean, is social media supercharging this? Is talk radio? I mean, where are the causes of this coming from?
Well, we've always had the talk radio, obviously, for a long time.
Yeah.
But now that has certainly brought about podcasts, social media. And I couldn't, in my opinion, yes, absolutely. It's social media and the availability of all these people with different opinions and voicing them and people listening to them and without really understanding sometimes what they're saying or why they're saying it. I'm not taking either side on this. I'm saying everybody's at fault in this point.
So let me.
And that really needs to get a grip on that.
Let's close on a positive note. You've been reelected for your next full term. What are you looking forward to? What sort of issues do you want to tackle in your next 2 years?
I want to continue this. What I feel has been a very successful first 2 years. I had a staff that was brand new, other than Karen Spetz, who's been there for a long time, and she's been a rock to us. But my staff has gone above and beyond, and I can't do this job without them. Obviously, they're just as much a part of it as I am. So I always say, Team Gurgly. And I mean that. And I think we've done a great job. I think that's what allowed me to run unopposed this time. And I want to continue that and build by learning. And all of us are learning together. And if we've gone and done this much so far, I'm very much looking forward to the opportunities and things we can get done here in the next 2 years.
But let's say they have another issue they want to talk about. Zoning, economic development, healthcare, education. How should someone approach their state representative, whether that's you or someone else, and say, hey, I want to talk to you about this problem that I'm facing in my community or in my neighborhood or in my industry?
Honestly, that happens all the time. Call the office. I know I'm very responsive. I've already have a couple other things in the works because of people who just called me and said, hey, what do you think about this? And if I think it's, you know, reasonable and a good thing, then we'll start the research right away on whether or not there's something, like I said, out there already, or there've been bills similar to it. If not, how could we get one constructed to move forward on? You get so many different calls and so many different things, but that's how it typically works. Just, you know, you gotta be vocal.
So it is kind of the squeaky wheel gets the grease a little.
I know when I was the mayor, he hated when I said that, but. Like I always said, though, if you had a pothole in front of your house, we don't know about it. We can't fix it.
Right.
So I just mean that, you know, theoretically, you know, in a way, you gotta use your voice and you gotta make it known. If it's something you care about, call our office, keep calling, or call, you know, call all the offices of the candidates who serve you, or the, you know, representatives that serve you, and make sure they know. And then, you know, that's sort of how you get things done. Obviously, there's lobbying firms as well, but to me, like, let's just say I have a former police chief call me and mention something to me that he really was passionate about and thought something needed to change. And we went and moved forward right away on it. And it's in the process now of creating a legislation.
So you and your colleagues in the legislature, they want to hear from the constituents.
I can't speak on my colleagues. I can only speak for Matthew Gurgly.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do. I take the calls all the time. So nobody doesn't ever get a response.
We've been talking this morning to State Representative Matt Gurgly. You can find him online, repgurgly.com or at pahouse.com/mgurgly. You can also visit one of his offices. He's got his main district offices in downtown McKeesport, but he's also got offices in Clareton and in Munn Hall. Representative Gurgly, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
Jason, obviously, thank you again. You know,
thank you all for listening this morning to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. So long for now. You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.